The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. I can remember when I was in the sixth grade, out on the playground during recess, and some older, bigger kid who had flunked a few grades said something to me. We were playing softball, and I called him, after what he said to me, a bench warmer. Ooh, nasty language, a bench warmer. And then I heard the ominous words, "Meet me behind the gym after school." Well, this guy was about 3 years older than me and was about 7 inches taller than me, and leave us to say, the adventure behind the gym did not last very long. I got beat up pretty good in my one and only fight. If you listened to Jesus' words today in the Sermon on the Mount, you too got beat up pretty good. As we say here in North Carolina, you got a good whooping, because we heard the law as spoken by our Lord and Jesus Christ. And Jesus demands not just an outward observance of the law, but an inward observance too. It's as we confess before the divine service, we have sinned against God in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. And the purpose of God's law is to show us the reality of our sins. The purpose of God's law, if you will, is to beat us up good, not to whip us into submission or anything like that, but to show us sin's dreadful condition, the dreadful condition you and I are in because of sin. But thanks be to God, His law does not have the last word for those of us in Christ Jesus. For those of us who have been baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, God's law does not have the last word, but rather the gospel does. God's peace does. His mercy, His forgiveness that was spoken to you after you confessed your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the law functions like a mirror. Now, I've got this little gap between my lower teeth because of, you know, that 5 second fight or match or whatever. The law really impacted me, you could say. Again, I could go home that evening and the next morning and look at the big shiner on my face. The law impacted me, you might say. But again, that's what God's law does. It shows us our sin. So that in the gospel, we can see our Savior. So let's listen to the law that Jesus preaches. Let's listen not with self-righteousness, thinking, well, I can do that, I've kept that. Neither let us listen in despair, well, I have broken God's commandments. I deserve His punishment. There is no way I can be saved. First, hear the law. let it strike you deeply, and then hear the comforting words of the gospel. First, Jesus addresses, in today's gospel, the fifth commandment. He said, "You have heard it said to those of old," being those of Moses' generation and those who followed Moses, "you shall not murder. You have also heard that whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you," and notice how Jesus torques up the law here, how he expands it, not merely to the outward act, but to include what goes on in our hearts. "But I say to you," he says with authority. In the Greek, it would be, "I, however, say to you," the "I" is emphasized because Jesus, as the incarnate Lord, does have authority. "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Think about that. If you are angry with a brother or sister in Christ, if you are unjustly angered towards someone and want to hold on that anger, rather than letting it go and calling upon the Lord for mercy and help and strength in letting it go, you will be liable to judgment. The fifth commandment in the Small Catechism explains it this way: "We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need." So, it's not just the refraining from murdering or hurting or harming someone in his or her body that the commandment requires of us. It's also to love our neighbor and to help and support our neighbor in his or her physical need. To see that your neighbor needs your help, and you have the means to help and yet refuse to do so, is to be guilty of the fifth commandment. Hear these words Jesus says: "If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember when you get to the altar that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, the altar spoken of was the altar of the temple in Jerusalem. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to a Galilean audience. So in effect, what he is saying, if you have come all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem for the Passover and for one of the other major festivals, and you are presenting the lamb of sacrifice to the high priest to slay and to sprinkle the blood on the altar, and then suddenly you remember you have offended your neighbor, then leave your offering there. Hightail it back to Galilee. Be reconciled to your neighbor. And then come back and offer your gift. How does this apply to us? We do not obviously go to the temple in Jerusalem to offer sacrifice. That temple is no more. Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin, so there is no need for further sacrifice. But it's this way. It's like this. You come to the sacrament of the altar to receive Jesus. the Lamb of God sacrificed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You come as a sinner, knowing that apart from Christ, you deserve God's eternal punishment. You come to receive God's gift, His gift of forgiveness, His gift of reconciliation, His life-giving gift of faith in partaking of Jesus' body and blood at this sacrament of reconciliation. But what if your brother or sister in Christ has something against you? What if you have offended them? The simple application is, since this sacrament is one of reconciliation, not only between us and God, but also among all who partake of the sacrament here, we are to be reconciled to one another if one of us has offended someone else. To be reconciled, not grudgingly, not grumblingly, but joyfully, because God has freely reconciled us to Himself in Christ. He no longer holds our sins against us, for Jesus has carried those sins away. Jesus goes on to say, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. And truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Our Lutheran confessors in the Book of Concord said something very profound, that the law of God always accuses us. The law serves to curb gross outbreaks of sin. The chief use of the law is as a mirror to show us our sin so that we might repent. The law also serves as a guide to God-pleasing behavior in Christ for the Christian. But even though it serves as a guide to God-pleasing behavior, we don't keep it as we should, and it always accuses us. The law always points to me and says, sinner, enemy of God, hell-bound. And thus I am, according to my old sinful nature. And I cry out, Lord God, have mercy on me. Who will save me, wretched man that I am? And here is the one who saves me and saves you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Well, when it comes to trying to earn our salvation before God, we are flat broke. We don't have two pennies to rub together. But our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and made himself poor and offered up his holy precious blood on the cross. He has paid the penalty. He has paid the price that sets you free from all of your sins, and you are forgiven in Him. So when the law accuses you, say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I do deserve God's condemnation, but I have a greater Savior who has paid the price for me. Now, we aren't finished being beaten up yet. Jesus goes on to the sixth commandment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And the reverse is true as well. Everyone who looks at a man with lustful intent has already committed adultery with that man in her heart. Small Catechism puts it this way. We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. So again, it's not just the outward conduct, behavior, act of adultery that condemns. It's our failure to fear and love God that shows itself in the times that husband and wife do not love and honor each other. That condemns us as adulterers. Jesus goes on to say, harsh preaching of the law here. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the members of your body than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now, if we followed this literally, there would be a lot of people here missing their right eye. And when we shook hands, we'd have to use our left hands. Jesus is using hyperbole to show us the seriousness of our sin and how serious is the call to contrition and repentance. Sin will destroy us. Sin will destroy your body. But Christ has redeemed you in your body through the washing of your baptism. And Christ promises to raise up your body and to make it completely whole again on account of his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension into heaven. Okay, we're still on the sixth commandment. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery as well. Pretty hard words. And I know that hits some of you. But let's let it hit all of us. Have you ever had a difficult time in your marriage where you have thought, I wish I had never married this person? Where you have contemplated divorce even though you did not follow through with it? Zing! It's got us all. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. Think of the vows that you made when you were baptized, when you were confirmed, when you became a member of this congregation, when you were married. Those vows were spoken in the presence of God. Second commandment stuff. Don't misuse the name of God. Don't take his word lightly. Jesus says, I say to you, do not take an oath at all. And here he's not forbidding an oath in a court of law, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So, when you confess your sins, don't do it grudgingly. Say it. Say it before God. Say it before other people. Yes, I am a sinner. And should anyone ask you, well, as a sinner, are you going to hell? Say this. Say it boldly. Say it gladly. No, I am not going to hell, because I have a marvelous Savior who bore the guilt of all of my sins, who took my punishment on the cross, who bled and suffered and died for me. He was the one who took the beating in my place. He was the one who bore the law's accusation in my place. He is the one who has redeemed me. He is the one who continually washes me of sin by the daily power of my baptism. He is the one who feeds me with his very body and blood, so that I can believe in him, so that I can love my neighbor, so that I can learn to love him. So the Jesus who speaks here in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount is the lawgiver. He is the one who threatens us with judgment, but he is also the Jesus who is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Substitute, the one who bore your sin in your place, the one who carried all of your unrighteousness. So in baptism and in God's eyes, you can be clothed in his righteousness. It's not just words of law that he says to you. What he has to say to you ultimately is a word of peace, a word of forgiveness, a word of comfort and salvation. So be of good cheer, Christian. Be of good cheer, though you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. Be of good cheer, because Christ has forgiven you. He has given you eternal life. And in him, you are free from all accusation. In him, you are perfectly righteous in God's eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.